Connects Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
This is a special report from ABC News Hurricane Milton. I'm Brian Clark. Right now, there are nearly 3 million power outages across Florida as Milton continues its march across the state. It's now a Category 1 storm, but a flash flood emergency continues over portions of west central Florida. Milton made landfall at Siesta Key. The damage felt in the Tampa Bay area. There's no water in St. Petersburg. It was shut off because of a water main break. As authorities urge people to evacuate their homes, Brian Carter in Seminole decided to stay, saying his house was elevated.
I've heard some things hitting my house, so I'm gonna have to go expect that in the morning when it's safe to go outside. But we're hunkered down tonight, and we're here for it. Very concerned about people around us.
The weather pattern also blamed for tornadoes in eastern Florida. Authorities in St. Lucie County say there was loss of life. This is ABC News. There's another confirmed case of bird flu in California linked to cattle that have spread it to humans.
Days after California registered its first two cases of bird flu, now the California Department of Public Health has confirmed a third human case and two more suspected cases of it. The new confirmed case is in California's Central Valley, and a person who'd been around infected dairy cows. There is no known link or contact between any of the people who have gotten it other than being around infected cows. And so far, the symptoms have been moderate. Dozens of herds of cattle in California and many other states have been infected. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Social Security benefits are adjusted each year for the cost of living, and today we'll find out how much they're going up in 2025. Analysts think it'll be much smaller than recent years as inflation cools. They're projecting about 2.5%, which the AARP estimates would only mean an extra $48 a month for the average recipient. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I am coming at you with the recommendation that if you have recently lost your job, I am so sorry, and you should apply for unemployment. Look, we all pay taxes for a rainy day, and being unemployed is that day. It doesn't matter if your employer is letting you go because they're downsizing or because they don't like your work. You can submit a claim to your state unemployment office. Now, the only reasons you can't get unemployment is if you quit your job or if you've been fired for like certain kinds of serious misconduct. Now, you could apply the very first day that you are out of work. If you wait, you're not going to get back payments. And after you apply, sometimes your employer will say you're not eligible because they have to pay. In that case, you just appeal the decision. People do this all the time. For more Everyday Money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin wildlife officials are warning about a disease fatal to deer, commonly known as EHD. The Department of Natural Resources has confirmed cases in deer from Chippewa, Jackson, and Waukesha counties. EHD is spread by insects that bite. Humans can't get it. Anyone who sees a sick or dead deer is urged to contact the DNR. Wisconsin crews are standing by to help Florida recover from Hurricane Milton. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Power crews from Cedarburg, Oconomowoc, and Hartford are preparing to assist with recovery efforts. We Energies is also sending a team of over 24 workers down to help restore power and mitigate the impact of the hurricane. To find out how you can help, visit civicmedia.us/help. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. It's the Bucks and the LA Lakers in a preseason matchup at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. The Bucks' new shooting guard, Gary Trent Jr., says he's okay after suffering a hyperextended elbow against Detroit. How's it going?
We've been pretty good, being proactive about getting back on the floor. We had a good practice today, and our goal is to continue to keep building through the preseason.
College football, the Badgers have their final practice before flying to New Jersey to take on Rutgers. Wisconsin is 3-2, Rutgers 4-1. 4-1. NFL, the Packers getting ready to play the Cardinals. The only player to miss practice, defensive tackle Devontae Wyatt with an ankle injury. Back at practice, wide receiver Romeo Dobbs. Matt LaFleur on having to suspend Dobbs last weekend.
You never want to get to that point. And that's why I think, you know, one thing that's so important for all of us involved is you got to communicate.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clear skies, light east winds in the overnight. We'll wake up to readings in the mid-40s. A gorgeous Thursday on the way, sunny skies, highs in the middle 70s, warm for Friday, highs in the lower 80s, some rain chances and cooler weather for your weekend. Right now it's 43.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we welcome state archaeologist Amy Rosebro to the program as she explains history being brought up from the lakes in Madison. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the conversation, call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Excited to have our next guests join us. Sean Fedipus is with the Main Street Alliance, and Abby Gilman is the owner of Little Village Play Cafe in Wauwatosa. Good morning to you both, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us on.
Sean, tell us about the roundtables that you guys are doing around the state. What was this one like that you just had in Wauwatosa?
Yeah, so we have had six planned, four have happened so far, and we had a roundtable in Wauwatosa with both State Representative Robin Vining and Representative Tom Michalski. We were very happy that both sides showed up. That is a pretty rare thing in our state. And we had important discussion about small business issues, childcare, paid leave, capital access. And we work with great business owners like Abby all across the state. And she was nice enough to host the discussion. So, we're excited to be able to have these discussions and help small businesses make their voices heard.
Abby, were you hesitant at all to host something like this? Because it's such a hot button, you know, everything is a hot button now. And I can understand where you might be like, yeah, I'd love to, but no.
You know, putting your opinion out there and your point of view as a business owner is a risky thing to do. However, as a Wauwatosa citizen and a parent of three young kids, I felt like not putting my point of view out there was an even riskier choice. So, no, I was a quick yes when Sean reached out.
So as a small business owner yourself, what are your main concerns? What would you like to see happen that would make things easy for you to thrive?
You know, as a small business owner, I think it's very expensive to launch a business, especially as a woman and a mom, and having access to capital is a huge barrier for a lot of people with great ideas that would be wonderful additions to the community. So just creating a more level playing field and providing more access to capital and resources so that people with wonderful ideas and great businesses can bring those to our communities. And then as a business owner who represents a lot of young families, we're a coffee shop and a children's play space. And so if you hear some laughter in the background, that's probably what's going on. But we represent a lot of young families. So we see so many parents coming in here with their kids because they don't have access to childcare. They're either on waiting lists that are years long, or daycare is so unaffordable. So I hear time and time again how important access to childcare is. So that's a very passionate topic and conversation of mine.
These waiting lists, good heavens, by the time you can get one of your children into childcare, they'll be graduating from college.
It's outrageous how long you have to wait. Yeah.
That's something we talk about a lot as far as like just easing the burden of childcare just a little bit. We want like helping both the childcare facilities and helping the parents. And I feel like that's something that we should all be able to come together on, but somehow still seem to bump heads. But the conversation needs to be had at every level too.
Sean, so what were the two candidates? What were their suggestions on what Abby just mentioned as far as giving assistance for the parents to find childcare? Just let's start with that.
Yeah, so I'm sure you all have talked about it before, but the Child Care Counts program was funded through federal dollars that help provide support both to the providers to keep pay stable or bumped up a bit. The average child care provider in our state makes about $12 an hour, which, you know, you can go to Quick Trip as a high school student and make more money than that. Yeah. So we need to deal with that side of the equation. But the other side of the equation, as a father of an 8-year-old myself, I understand that childcare can be very expensive. And so, unfortunately, the Child Care Counts program it's not totally out of money yet. There's still 50% of the amount through July, but you're already seeing centers all across the state close. If that program is not funded again, if we don't get back to 100% of funding, you're going to see potentially over 1,000 centers across the state permanently close. And those people are not going to come back. If you're in the industry, like those are going to be gone. And so it's absolutely urgent that we get this dealt with. State Representative Robin Vining has been very supportive of this issue. Representative Tom Mahosky, again, very much appreciate him coming. He didn't seem as familiar with the program and didn't get much into specifics, but we're happy to see Robin strongly supports that program.
Well, and as you said, Sean, I think it's wonderful that you got both of them to show up. That in itself is a big rarity, and that it was done. It sounds like it all went well and there were no fists flying, and that's all good. We're always happy to hear that. If you're just joining us, Sean Fetaplace with the Main Street Action Pack and Abby Gildman, the owner of A Little Village in Wauwatosa, are guests, and they're talking about the roundtables that the Main Street Action Pack is having around the state, talking to small business owners, finding out what their concerns are and what government can do to help and help them be more successful. What about the access to capital, Sean? What did the candidates say about that, to Abby's point?
Yeah, so we asked about that issue, and there's been, Wisconsin has really led the way on that issue since the pandemic. About $1.6 billion were provided in economic stabilization dollars that took the form of grant programs, better access to capital for folks across the state, including a grant program that is called the Main Street Bounce Back Program. And Abby, you received that. Could you maybe describe to people what that is?
Yeah, so the Main Street Bounce Back Program was an initiative to give grants to business owners filling vacant spaces following the COVID pandemic, or in the heat of the COVID pandemic, after so many businesses closed their doors. And it was a really great initiative to make sure that as a state that values small businesses and a thriving Main Street, that we kept those spaces open and accessible and providing value to the community. So as a recipient of the Main Street Bounce Back Grant, I got a $10,000 grant to help offset the costs of building out our space, which $10,000 is incredible. It also is quickly spent in the build out of a space. So
yeah. And so, I mean, I think for us, as far as capital access goes, you know, State Representative Robin Vining did talk about that program and talked about the importance of it. And there's a chance to replenish that fund in the next legislature. Representative Mahosky seemed to have a view that it's not really the role of government to do those things. I would argue that things like the manufacturer and ag tax credit that overwhelmingly favors the very wealthy. I mean, if you're going to be in support of that, you should all be in support of grants for small businesses to be able to start and grow. And so there was definitely a large difference in view on that issue.
Well, the question I would have then, Sean, is if he doesn't believe that government has a place in getting involved in these sorts of things, does he then provide suggestions on where else to go? Because I know a lot of times when people say government shouldn't be doing this, charities should be doing this, businesses should be doing this, helping out. That's not always the case. This is an investment from the government in these municipalities. So were there any options he gave you?
He did talk about, you know, he's been a local elected official in Waukesha County, and they did talk about low and no interest loans. The problem with that is that, you know, yes, I mean, it's with the high interest rate environment we have, it is helpful, but, you know, a lot of folks don't have generational wealth. They aren't large corporations that can get a huge amount up front. And so it really needs to be a mix of both grant and direct support to help entrepreneurs get off their feet, on their feet. And then it also, you know, having those accessible as well is also a role. But I just don't, I don't really get the distinction between tax breaks and low interest loans versus grants as far as why one is okay and the other isn't. And so for us, we really, you know, we don't expect the government to burden all of the risk of a business starting. That's not reasonable, but there are things that the state has done that have proven to be successful that we believe we should be doing more of and not less of.
Yeah,
that- and that's why we decided, frankly, through, you know, these events, you know, we actually, as an organization, with Abby and other leaders, decided to actually endorse State Representative Robin Vining after this event, and we're going to be working hard to help her get elected over the course of the next month or so.
We've only got about 2.5 minutes left. Abby, I want to go back to you for a second. J.D. Vance has said on the stump that as far as child care goes, we should just have more grandparents filling in that role as child care providers.
Uncles and aunts, too. Thank you.
Uncles and aunts and, you know, childless cat ladies, they're not doing anything, so they should apparently be watching everybody else's kids. I'm wondering what you hear from parents about how realistic an option that is.
Where do I even start with that? I mean, my parents would love to watch my kids, but they're busy working. They have careers too, you know. You can't just retire like and watch your grandchildren. Not to mention, like, there are a lot of reasons why parents opt to put their children into daycare and preschool settings. A lot of benefits from socialization and early childhood development. So I think those types of comments are hurtful because, of course, everyone, I mean, the name of our business is called The Little Village. Of course, everyone wants a village of family around them to take on that type of support. But that's A, that's not accessible to everyone. And B, that's not necessarily the path for everyone. So not a solid policy choice.
Well, and as you said, I think you made some really important points there, Abby, just about the socialization that that small children get in those settings. And isn't that where you kind of give them the basics of sharing? You have to share the coloring book. You have to, these are the basic things. These are the rules that we kind of follow when you, before you get, this is what you're going to need when you're going to school, when you finally get into school. Abby Gilman is the owner of Little Village in Wauwatosa, and Sean Fetteplace is with Main Street Action Pack. We will get links in our show notes to both of your, Abby, your business, and Sean to the Main Street Action Pack. Thank you so very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Stay with us. Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot on the way next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
It's Halloween at the Lazy Oaf Lounge. Saturday night, October 26th, starting at 8:30. Live music with Honey Shot. Win $400 with the Lazy Oaf Costume Contest. Must be present to win. Plus $4 cherry bombs, $2 75-cent cans of Bud Light and Miller Lite, and $2 off Tito's Double Mixers. It's Halloween at the Lazy Oaf Lounge in Madison. North Stoughton Road. For details, follow them on Facebook or at LazyOafLounge.com.
The Dom Salvia Show.
And Egan Walkoff from Wisconsin Native Vote.
20 years ago, I moved to a suburb of Milwaukee. I went to register, and the woman was like, "You're Indian? Indians don't vote. You can't vote."
What?
So when I'm talking to a group of Native Americans, did I tell them that story? And they're like, "What?" And that gets their dander up. And I'm going to go vote for sure.
Absolutely.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Will White Schoolhouse, behind us, the birthplace of the Republican Party, executive director of the Ripon Area Chamber of Commerce, Mandy Kimes.
Whether you love politics or you aren't even interested, there is something here, because those ideals and values and lessons and courage can influence us today to be active citizens and to be willing to take a stand. And really, ordinary people in an ordinary place doing extraordinary things.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're as cold as ice. Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach. Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us. Call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk hates that we continue to call Twitter. She joins us once a week. You've been getting moved around an awful lot lately, Brittany, so thank you for being so accommodating. It's time for Weather and Wine with Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. That is her actual name. Thanks so much for joining us, Brittany. I want to start off first with Hurricane Milton, because now from what I just saw within the last 20 minutes, it's back up to a Category 5.
Yeah, so this thing keeps growing in strength, weakening in strength. The eye wall keeps rebuilding. You know, it's a powerful, powerful storm. No matter what category it makes landfall, it's going to do pretty much the same amount of damage. So just keep that in mind as this is barreling towards and it's downgrading. Now, as I'm looking at the model runs, it does widen, it does dissipate, it does want to weaken as it hits shore. I mean, we've got dry air out there. We've got wind shear out there. Those are two things that work to kind of tear a hurricane apart. So it is going to be tearing at it, which is going to grow its size. But all of that water from the ocean is still going to be forced in that surge right at those shorelines. So still a very, very devastating storm. Plus, they've got debris from Helene still that hasn't been picked up and can be thrown. And it's just so many things. And you think about the rain, too. When you take sand and you saturate it, it becomes hard. And then where does it go? It piles up and up and up. So flooding, tornado warnings ongoing right now. I mean, one just crossed I-75.
Yeah.
We've got more warnings off towards, you know, it's sad.
Brittany, when Helene was coming towards, or not us, but coming about to hit, that was all we were talking about. And within 48 hours, they were talking about Milton. Are there any other storm fronts coming along? Anything else that's following Milton that we should know about?
Yeah, or potentials.
Yeah.
There actually is. There's some potential out in the Pacific. This is where this one came from, right? We never thought at all that those two disturbances would mix together and form Milton. And now we're looking off to the Pacific like, okay, what could happen next? So, I mean, we are still in hurricane season. That disturbance is not the best back there, and those waters are warm, so fuel for these things.
Yeah, that is the biggest driver of these increasingly damaging heavy rain, high winds. It's fed by the warm ocean waters, which is due to climate change. Sorry, folks, but that's just the reality of it. And I was seeing some reports yesterday, too, Brittany, about 15-foot storm surges.
Yes, that is going to cover buildings in Tampa Bay or Fort Myers or wherever the maximum surge goes, Sarasota area. That is scary. And then, like you mentioned, we're not in El Nino anymore. We're transitioning from El Nino to La Nina. So you can't even blame this on an El Nino pattern. This is straight climate change.
It, really quick question. I'm sorry to divert for a moment, but are we either, is it a binary thing where we're in El Nino or La Nina, or is there times when we're in neither?
That's what we're actually right now. We're just kind of in a neither.
Let's stay here. Let's stay right here. Yeah.
Oh, seriously.
Well, we certainly send hopeful wishes and safe thoughts to people in Florida. If you can evacuate, I hope people are evacuating. It would be just tragic. This is going to be, and they said the same thing about Helene in many instances. This is not survivable. This kind of storm surge is not survivable.
Yeah. No.
This is a situation where you can send thoughts and prayers, but you can also help. You can go to civicmedia.us/help.
Yes.
It's got a bunch of organizations you can donate to. Go there, make yourself heard, give what you can, help those who are in need. Go to that website and, yeah, and give blood.
And get blood. Andrew in the live stream just said he's got to go. He's going to go give blood. So Red Cross.
Good. I'm giving tomorrow.
You are good for you. Yep. Excellent. All right, Brittany, let's talk about weather here. We've got it perfect. It's been perfect. Except it's been dry, but my goodness, other than that.
It's perfect for summer in October.
Yeah.
Seriously, why are we hitting 80s on Friday? Well, it's because Milton actually kind of pushed that jet stream a little bit. So we've got a little bit of warmth here, dry conditions, high pressure holding still, unfortunately. So low to mid 70s tomorrow. Mid 70s to 80 degrees on Friday. Then that cold front moves in, bringing small chances of rain by Saturday night, mostly north, but a good chunk of us will see it. And then by Sunday, highs in the 50s. Guess what? Guess what, Sunday night? The further you live up north, the closer you are to Lake Superior, those temperatures are falling so low. With rain coming off the lake, I could be flipping over to some flurries. The first of the season.
You know what? You're the only one in this room who's enjoying this. Whereas I'm like, today is shorts, tomorrow's sweater. The next day is put chains on the tires.
This is what meteorologists enjoy. Yep. Well, this is also what they live for.
This is also living in Wisconsin.
Exactly.
That's just what
I'll take flurries. For
yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
No big deal.
Exactly.
And in the time we have left, they're changing the way that we call wind chills. What is that?
Yeah, so the National Weather Service is changing the terminology to cold weather advisories or extreme cold watches or warnings. It's going to be basically the same darn thing, to be honest with you. It's just simplified to really try to get everyone to understand what's happening. But for me, I think it's a little bit more confusing because I used the wind to explain why it was going to feel colder. So I'm going to keep using it, but the National Weather Service won't.
Well, I also, it just sounds like it's the wind chill, whereas like, oh, my bones are cracking.
Right,
like,
right.
Cold advisory, cold warning, that sounds like stay inside.
More serious?
Wind chill sounds like I'm going to have some cocoa.
Well, you know, okay. Once we privatize the whole National Weather Service all these problems will go away. And all the weather problems will also go away. So yes. Don't worry about anything.
No.
Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, joining us for a little weather and wine. Thank you so much, Brittany. We will talk to you next week.
Have a good one. Thank you, guys.
News is coming up next, and we're going to wrap up the show with this shouldn't be a thing, voter fraud edition.
Oh, boy.
Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
This is a special report from ABC News, Hurricane Milton. I'm Brian Clark. Right now, there are nearly 3 million power outages across Florida as Milton continues its march across the state. It's now a Category 1 storm, but a flash flood emergency continues over portions of west central Florida. Milton made landfall at Siesta Key. The damage felt in the Tampa Bay area. There's no water in St. Petersburg. It was shut off because of a water main break. As authorities urge people to evacuate their homes, Brian Carter in Seminole decided to stay, saying his house was elevated.
I've heard some things hitting my house, so I'm gonna have to go expect that in the morning when it's safe to go outside. But we're hunkered down tonight, and we're here for it. Very concerned about people around us.
The weather pattern also blamed for tornadoes in eastern Florida. Authorities in St. Lucie County say there was loss of life. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The crime rate in Wisconsin's largest city is trending down. Milwaukee's third quarter crime report shows a 22% drop in homicides since last year. Other violent crimes like rape, arson, and burglary are also down. On the other hand, vehicle thefts are up 17% from a year ago. Robberies are also on the rise. The candidates for 3rd District Congress sound open to debating each other, Jimmy Cuska reports.
Republican incumbent Derek Van Orden said he had nothing to be concerned about in debating Democratic challenger Rebecca Cook, calling his congressional record, quote, impeccable. Cook issued a statement saying Van Orden has been avoiding events where the two would be together and that he refused to debate Brad Paff in 2022. The election is on November 5th. I'm Jimmy Cuska.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Grief can affect people in different ways. When Lisa Marie Presley lost her only son, Benjamin, in 2020, she literally could not say goodbye. CNN Entertainment reports that Lisa Marie, Elvis's only child, kept her son's body at home for 2 months after his death. Presley's memoir, From Here to the Great Unknown, was published posthumously. Lisa Marie passed away in January of 2023. Her memoir was completed by her daughter, actress Riley Keough, who used tapes that her mother had made to complete the work. Keough says there are no laws in the state of California that state a body needs to be buried immediately, so they kept Benjamin's body on ice in a room where the temperature had to be 55 degrees. She also says that Lisa Marie wanted to do this because Elvis's body was kept at their home after he died of a heart attack when he was 42, which allowed Lisa Marie to take her time and say a proper goodbye. Lisa Marie Presley and Benjamin Presley were both buried with Elvis at Graceland Cemetery. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clear skies, light east winds in the overnight. We'll wake up to readings in the mid-40s. A gorgeous Thursday on the way. Sunny skies, highs in the middle 70s. Warm for Friday, highs in the lower 80s. Some rain chances and cooler weather for your weekend. Right now, it's 43.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Bill Carroll, president of Teamsters Joint Council 389, based here in Milwaukee. They have endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz for president and vice president.
Trump offers nothing to a regular working class person. Talking about not taxing tips and not taxing overtime. Well, you don't have to tax overtime if there is no more overtime. That's in his Project 2025.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Some group of kids from Stevens Point were using racial slurs against black and mixed race players on the Eau Claire North team. Let's go to Joe. What's he?
One of the things that makes this state great is the legacy of Vince Lombardi. He tells his players, you are all equal on my team. Vince Lombardi would never have tolerated that sort of behavior. And he's one of our heroes.
Joe, as you always do, you nailed it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll talk to Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
And we'll have a follow-up on the hurricane in Florida.
Join us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder that next Wednesday, a week from today, is the deadline to register to vote in Wisconsin online or by mail. So go check your registration. Do it right now. Don't wait. Go to myvote.wi.gov. It'll take you all of 30 seconds to find out if you are registered to vote. If you are not, it will take you to where you need to go to do that. Yes, you can vote. You can register to vote the day of. I would encourage you, we would encourage you to do it beforehand.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a much longer day for you.
Yes.
If you wait to register the day of. So why don't you do it now? Go to myvote.wi.gov so you can vote on November 5th. And by the way, the constitutional amendments that will be facing Wisconsin voters, vote no.
Vote no. We believe you should vote no.
We believe you should vote no. So does the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. We will put their link in our show notes, and you can always find those at civicmedia.us. Just go to shows, click on Matinee on Air, and that has every single episode since the beginning.
Of time.
Since the
time,
beginning. Time, since the time. Beginning of the year. All oh. right. We're going to lighten things up a little bit for the last half hour. Kamala Harris has been making the rounds on media.
Oh, she is getting way busy on.
She's been busy, and a couple of them have certain heads exploding on the other side of the aisle. She was on the Call Her Daddy podcast. Calvin, can you explain what the Call Her Daddy podcast is?
Resident young person.
Yes, resident young person.
Yeah. So the Call Her Daddy podcast was, I think it started in like 2016, something like that. It was started by two young, like college aged girls at the time. They're obviously older now.
Right.
It started off as kind of like the girl equivalent of a bro podcast.
Gotcha.
They talked about their sex lives and dating and
relationships
and that kind of thing. The original two co-hosts have split up, and it's just the one now.
But she's very popular.
She has become very popular. She now she does interviews with she's had actors, she's had reality TV stars, she's had business people, she's had a bunch of different guests. She also was a part of the Olympic coverage during NBC. I think she played a small role in that. So yeah, she's really popular.
She reaches a big audience. She does, and especially for younger women, I would say women under the age of 35. And this Alex has quite a following of females under the age of 35. She doesn't normally delve into politics, but she did have Kamala Harris on this week. And among one of the things that they were talking about were tampons came up with her discussion with Kamala Harris. And I'm assuming it's about having tampons available in schools for girls, because this can be an issue. And John Kennedy, Republican from Louisiana.
Oh, God.
Very upset that they were talking about tampons, because he's telling you that no one affected by Hurricane Helene gives a hoot about tampons. And I'll tell you what, Mr. Kennedy, this happens once a month to ladies. And if your house has just been wiped off the face of the earth, and you have your period, yes, they're thinking about sanitary products and where they can get them. That's a thing.
I think he's got his thought process there wrong. It's not that the people who are affected by the hurricane don't care about tampons. It's that hurricanes don't give a crap about your period and need for tampons. Therefore, the need is important, and we need to talk about these things. And John Kennedy needs to shut up.
He went to Yale, didn't he?
Cool deal. So did George W. Bush.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, Mr. Kennedy.
So did J.D. Vance.
That's very true. That makes him so elitist. Doesn't that just make him elitist?
I thought they were the common man, Jane.
Yeah, Kamala Harris also appeared on retired NBA players Matt Barnes and Reggie Jackson's podcast called All the Smoke. And I think the outrage about her being on Call Her Daddy, when I haven't seen anyone even react to her being on that typically sports podcast, is evident of just misogyny. That's really the only explanation.
Two women talking about things. How dare they?
And one of them is a woman of color, too.
Oh, how, that's even worse.
My goodness.
Well, Kamala Harris also stopped by Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Do we have a clip of that, Greg?
We do. We have a clip waiting for us. Please play that clip, Calvin.
When you first became the nominee and named Tim Walz as your vice president nominee, people were calling it the vibe election. Everybody, all the vibes were all good. But elections, I think, are won on vibes because one of the old saws is they just want somebody they can have a beer with.
Uh-huh.
So would you like to have a beer with me so I can tell people what that's like? Okay. This was... Now, we asked ahead of time, because I can't just be given a drink to the Vice President of the United States without asking. You asked for Miller High Life. You asked for Miller High Life. I'm just curious.
Okay, the last time I had beer was at a baseball game with Doug. So,
okay, so cheers.
Okay,
there
cheers.
You there you go. Ooh. That
yep.
tastes like the beautiful city of Milwaukee,
the
Wisconsin.
The champagne of beers.
There you go.
All right. So a couple of things about that. First of all, she had my vote before. Now she super has my vote because High Life is probably my favorite go-to beer. I like a lot of other beers.
Right.
But on a hot day or a simple day or you're going to a bar and you know you can't stay long, you could have one High Life. You're good. You're going to be good. Stephen Colbert's comment on the great city of Milwaukee, if you don't remember, sometime back we talked about this.
He got in trouble.
He got in some trouble in 2020 when he made fun of Milwaukee, and I was actually very upset about it because he had reduced Milwaukee to the barest of stereotypes. And I'm like, dude, you're not from New York or from Los Angeles. You're from South Carolina. You lived in Chicago. You know the Midwest. So he made an apology. He made an apology video. He went to Milwaukee. Like,
yes.
He did all.
Yes.
He did. So I think him saying that was him saying, I'm still sorry, Milwaukee.
Please forgive me.
Let us enjoy one of the greatest exports of your fair town, a Miller High Life.
So the question is, which politician, living or dead, would you like to have a drink with? And what would be the drink?
Yes.
It can be a beer.
Yeah.
Maybe something non-alcoholic.
Yeah.
Which politician, living or dead, would you like to have a drink with, and what would the drink be? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter.
If you want to take part in Democracy 2 as well.
You can vote.
Go to Civic Media. I'm sorry, not Civic Media. Well, go to our website. It's pretty cool. Go to our Twitter page, because in this house, we call it Twitter. Go to Matinaire on Air. That's MATENAER on Air. Follow us on Twitter. And then go to the post we have with Stephen Colbert and Kamala Harris. In the below tweet of that, there is a poll showing choices. You can either pick PBR. I'm sorry. You'll pick PBR, High Life, Spotted Cow, or other. If you pick other, let us know in the comments what the other would be. It, like Jane said, it could be a cocktail. It could be some tea. It could be some coffee, water.
Anything.
Anything at all, but let us know. You want to have a drink with the VP? And right now, let us know who would be your politician of choice, living or dead, you'd have a drink with.
This has always been the thing. Which candidate would you rather sit down and have a beer with? Who would it be? Who would it be? Living or dead?
I know who mine is.
Anybody?
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Greg, we will start with you.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Bully.
I'd just be like, hey, buddy, how you doing? Because I just feel like he had a lot going on in his brain. He wanted to accomplish so much. Plus, I wouldn't do much talking.
You just listen.
Oh, yeah. He was a chatty teddy. He talked a lot. He had a lot of energy. There was an old saying that if you look at his paintings of him, his hand was always balled up in a fist. And they believe that was like the kinetic energy he was trying to hold in.
Wow.
But he just went all the time. He had
100 miles an hour.
100 miles
time.
An hour. Yes. He always had something to do. He had always some place to go. He had always a thing he had to accomplish. And they believe that his hand was balled up in the fist because he was just trying to hold in everything.
Wow.
You can imagine that? A guy like that sitting for a painting?
Oh, no.
No.
Not exactly. Not someone with that amount of energy.
No.
Which politician, living or dead, would you have a cocktail with? 855-752-4842.
There you go. We got Dave from New Berlin on the text line. Said Barack Obama, cognac.
Ooh,
that's a fancy
nice little snifter.
Does that include like a special like a robe, like a drink?
A satin smoking jacket.
Exactly.
Calvin, what would your pick be?
Well, I guess I would want it to be someone that I could maybe have potential to actually have fun with. So
John Adams, got it. All right. No.
I don't know why. Only because she's relatively young, and I know she played a video game online in the past. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I think, would be a fun time.
Yeah.
I would agree with you.
Oh, and by the way, it doesn't have to be like a president or a congressman or a senator. It could be like honestly, someone who popped in my brain, Katie Rosenberg, up north, former mayor of Wausau, who hopefully will be mayor once again or something else, because she looks like a great hang. She looks a lot. Fran Hong. Francesca Hong. Absolutely amazing.
We'd have a drink and tater tots.
Oh, my good gravy. But yeah, it doesn't have to be a famous politician. It can be someone who means something to you.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
But let us know. Kevin in Wausau, listening to us. Thank you very much. George Washington, brandy, old-fashioned, sweet with cherries.
With cherries. Love it.
I can imagine George Washington's response would be, I like this.
Sherry from Horicon would like to sit down with Abraham Lincoln and have a root beer float.
I was hoping Sherry would say she wanted a glass of sherry with.
Not everybody likes sherry.
I've never had it.
I worked at A&W Sherry. I can make that float for you. Paul from Madison, listening on WMDX, Spotted Cow.
Okay.
And with Kamala.
Okay.
Spotted Cow with Kamala. Who would be your choice? And again, it doesn't have to be a nationwide politician. It can be somebody in your own community. Who would you like to sit down and have a drink with? What would the drink be? 855-752-4842.
Andrew from Maine trying to score some points here, saying I would have a drink with the queen of civic media, Jame Matinere.
What would we be drinking, Andrew?
You're drinking... Oh, he didn't say.
Oh, we'll leave that open.
There you go. And Tony Zimmerman, look at this guy being all nice. The retired politician, Pat Kreitlow, seems like a kind of cool guy.
Nice.
Nice work there, Tony.
Nice little in-house love.
Scoring some points.
Appreciate that.
Old-fashioned, obviously, Tony says. These are great suggestions. I would totally, George Washington would be interesting. It would take a lot for me not to ask questions that would thoroughly upset him. But, you know, some of his farming practices.
Well, yes.
There you go.
Yes, I understand that. I've been thinking about it, too. I would like to talk to Ann Richards, who is the governor of Texas.
Yes!
I think that would be a really interesting conversation. And with her, I want to do a shot at tequila.
No. With Ann Richards, you don't do a shot of tequila. You did two shots of tequila.
Yeah, one tequila, two tequila, three tequila, four.
Four, exactly.
Yes. Who would you like to have a drink with? Which politician? And what would you be drinking? 855-752-4842. Matt from Richland Center on WRCE. Calvin took mine. Why is he always right? I'll take Henry VIII then, and we're going to drink mead.
Okay, and then I hope you can run away, because you're going to say something that'll anger that man. Oh, my goodness.
Someone listening on WCFW, I'd like to have a mimosa with Sarah Godlewski.
Oh, who doesn't love a good crisp mimosa?
Sure, that works.
That's tasty.
Mark from Prairie du Sac on the line. Good morning, Mark. Who do you want to sit down and have a cocktail with, and what would that cocktail be quickly?
Yeah, first of all, moo-moo Subaru for you, Jane, on the whole Subaru thing.
Thanks, Mark.
It's Thomas Paine. I'd like just regular beer and discuss the Age of Reason and the Rights of Man with him. Two publications that he wrote that predate, some of our social programs of today.
Mark, elevating our silly little segments the way you do, Mark. Thank you for that.
Thanks a lot. Now I got to read.
But you do give us something all to aspire to. I'm also thinking Alexander Hamilton. I want to see how much he looks like Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I'm going to give you a clue.
I'm just curious.
Nothing.
Stay with us. This Shouldn't Be a Thing is on the way next. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX. Matt Nair on air.
The vice presidential debate. Mike from Kenosha is on the line.
Isn't it the whole purpose of a debate to be on television for the public benefit? The narrative, questions, fact-checking, it's inconsistent at best.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Mainstream media is bailing massively by trying to both sides everything and sane-wash everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
She is performing in Wisconsin. Charo, you might want to end up moving here because you're going to have that great of a time in Baraboo. Let me just ask you this. Do you like cheese?
I love the cheese. I'm going to be eating cheese for 24 hours. You have a great reputation with the cheese. Wisconsin cheese is very, very famous.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Galby on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, call or text same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Just a little heads up, we have a very, very busy show coming up for tomorrow.
Yeah.
At 10:33, Lisa Schiller is going to be back from the Better Business Bureau. And we're going to talk about debt collection scams and what we need to know to protect ourselves. And I always think, especially when Lisa talks to us, there's so many older folks who end up getting scammed. They have landlines.
Yeah.
They still answer landlines. And so I encourage you to listen tomorrow so you can tell your parents about this stuff and what they need to look out for. So Lisa Schiller tomorrow from the Better Business Bureau talking about debt collection scams. Alexander Vindman had to reschedule.
Yes.
He was supposed to join us before. Alexander Vindman, of course, who had some really compelling testimony during the first impeachment trial of former President Trump about trying to extort Ukraine, essentially withholding weapons and aid that had already been approved for them to start conducting a bogus investigation into the Bidens to help his election.
This is a major player in this.
Big time. Alexander Vindman will be joining us tomorrow at 11:06. Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company at 11:30. And then, of course, wrapping it up with where we are right now. Calvin, it's 11:53 and time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it in to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Today's This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Election Fraud Edition.
Ooh.
Former Republican U.S. Representative Mike Rogers of Michigan, who is now running for the U.S. Senate, has a house in White Lake Township that's been demolished. The one bedroom that they shelled out almost $300,000 for has become a question of focus about his residency in Michigan, because he claims that that's where they're living and that's where he registered to vote. and there's no house there.
Maybe it's like a really super tiny house.
No, it's not a tiny home. Yeah, no. He had been living many years in Florida. Yeah. That was his dream place after he served as a representative.
Like Ron Johnson.
Like Ron Johnson.
Yeah.
Bought his dream home in Florida.
Yeah.
Then decided, oh, I want to run for the Senate. So he came back. And again, he and his wife purchased the one-bedroom, 728-square-foot home for $295,000.
I don't think I've ever had an apartment that small.
And then they knocked it down. And it's still, there's no building there. It doesn't have an occupancy permit.
What is this giving you vibes of? It's a rich guy, sunny state living, going back to another state where he doesn't live, trying to become a senator, likes to knock things down.
Tommy Tuberville?
No. Eric Hovde.
Oh. Eric does have a house here in Madison, though.
Well, that guy has a house in Michigan.
but Eric Hovde's house actually has walls and things.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. This
is lacking. It's a slab. There's a slab there.
It's a camping.
Oh, they camp there.
You can camp there. Put your tent down. Live with nature.
Yeah, I just, you know, we hear so much, particularly from one side, about voter fraud and who is casting illegal ballots, on and on and on. Let's not forget Alabama Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville. Under scrutiny, following reports, he sold his last remaining properties in Alabama and now lives at his beach house in Florida. Hmm. Also, as I was just looking for others, remember this? Mark Meadows.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Meadows, Republican. He and his wife bought a mobile home and registered there weeks before the 2020 election. This mobile home in Macon County, he had never lived in or even ever visited it. But the North Carolina Department of Justice decided there was not sufficient evidence. So I guess when Republicans say, oh, there's voter fraud, we have a few examples.
Well, and also somebody was coming. People said, like, well, why do you always like come down on the Republicans so hard? Why are you taking sides? We're on the side of democracy. And what they're doing is anti-democracy. They're just making the rules as they go along because they want what they want.
Trust me, if there was a Democrat, if you have a Democratic example of this, send it to me.
Yeah.
And we'll include that.
Yeah.
I have no problem going after Democrats who are doing bad things. Hello, Gold Bar Bob Menendez. I don't have any problem with calling them out.
Yeah.
If they exist. So send me the examples, please. I would welcome them. I would absolutely welcome them.
Yeah.
But this should not be.
This,
Calvin.
This shouldn't be a thing.
It should not be. It's naughty. Shaking my finger.
At least just buy a house. Like,
well, put up a tent.
Buy a whole
put
house.
Put up a tent or
if
something.
If you can afford $300,000 for a one-bedroom.
For us that you knocked down.
Just rent a nice apartment. All right. It doesn't have to be a house.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. News is coming up next, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2 p.m. Stay with us all day long. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Alexander Vindman, who played a big role in Donald Trump's first impeachment trial. Paul Noonan from Acme Packing Company, and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
This narrative that the immigrants are coming to get you, that's fiction. Look at criminal charges in your community. And look how many of those people who have been there for years, if not decades, and how many of those people are new immigrants. And even a smaller percentage of how many are undocumented immigrants. It's not happening. It would be like going to places and say, well, you know what? I'm running for Congress to stop the zombies.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.